At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Good morning, St. Louis, and welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and we're here to tackle all your home remodeling and maintenance questions. Whether you're dreaming of a new kitchen, or maybe you're dealing with a leaky faucet and that's got you dreaming of a new kitchen, or anything in between, I'm here to help. Give me a call. You can reach me today, 314-436-7900. And, you know, let's get those projects moving for you. We've got a fantastic show lined up, lot of tips, but hoping to get a ton of listeners' questions so we can just help everybody out. So grab your cup of coffee, sit back, and let's talk home improvement right here on KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. So pick up that phone and dial to get to me, 314-436-7900. Get your questions answered right here. Let's turn your house into the home of your dreams today together. And we've got today, it's a rare occurrence here. We've got a full 2-hour show here for the KMOX listeners. So I don't think cards kick off till after 2 p.m., something like that. So we've got the full 2 hours for you today. And I hope everybody is having a fun and safe holiday weekend. I hope with the 4th and everything that everybody's been safe out there. And considering all the fireworks safety tips, recommendations, as you celebrate here on this great, great weekend. So there's a lot of things to pay attention to and think about. And for our homes, while we're doing this, I think the biggest tip and recommendation is be out into a field, be further away from homes and vehicles to just keep everything away. And fireworks landing on decks and roofs and hitting the siding, really, it doesn't seem very often, but boy, it can. If you get a hot one, it can cause a fire. It can have problems. I've seen it burn a hole right through a deck floor. Luckily, not burning that entire house down, but a lot of things to consider while going through this wonderful weekend. So if you're kind of continuing your weekend, you want to end it off in a nice big bang, and you're doing a lot of fireworks tonight, Sunday night. I know we're going to be hearing them. I know there's a lot out there, but it is interesting when you look at kind of the statistics of injuries and what happens. Because I haven't done this one in a while either, but I did look back at 2023 and the there's a fireworks annual report they do every year that kind of just calls out every different statistic. It breaks everything down. It is a really good report. And amazingly enough, we have been on a downward trend in the past 3 years of less and less injuries from fireworks. But still in 2023, we had 9,700 treated injuries in hospital emergency rooms from fireworks, and they go year round. There is, so when you look at the actual 4th, you look at that, they look at the 30 days from June 16th to July 16th, 6,400 of those 9,700 are in that 1 month span, which goes to reason, right? That's when all that stuff is going to happen. But so when you look at it and you kind of break it down, and from the one I looked at that I did about 9-10 years ago on the show, sparklers have dropped a lot. Sparklers were actually 28% of the emergency room visits, which also means a lot of little ones with these sparklers. That's so the little ones are getting burnt and going to the emergency room. But it's down to 12% in 2023 was from sparklers. So that's a good improvement. So just be careful. Watch closely. It doesn't take much to have something happen and end up in the emergency room. Or watch when you clean up. That's another big tip for your house. When you clean up, you want to put this stuff in water, get it wet. Don't put it near your home. I've seen a lot of fires over the years where they'll put it into, well, I put it into a trash dumpster, but I left it outside of my garage, but right up against the side of the house, and it still ended up burning down good half the house coming through the garage and getting to the home. So keep them far away, put them in water, just be safe. You never know when these things are going to jump up and reunite. And if you're having anything going on, if you're having anything around your house, remember again, you're going to find me right here today. We got a whole 2-hour show for you. 314-436-7900 is where you're going to get to me. And I want to touch on July just for a minute here, because we have this list of things that are good to do inside of different months, different times of years, and thing that we should be doing to our home pretty much yearly, and all these different things to consider. So when we look at July, it's definitely a good time of year when you start thinking of the heat coming on to cleaning up and cleaning out your basement. Get down where it's cool, do some work like that. Then when you take it out, you're just out there for a little bit. But it's also good to check outside, because with the heat, with everything happening, rain for a few days, then high heat for a few days, you're going to get a lot of peeling and cracked paint, masonry cracks, just all sorts of things, air gaps happening. So it's good to walk around the exterior this time of year. And it's good if you pick a sunny day, you can see a lot. You don't have to be an expert to really look around and see if you've got cracks in your caulk around your window, if you've got cracks in your mortar. Just take a look, take that walk around, and see if you notice anything that's weird. Get out wide, look at the roof, and just look for out-of-place colors, darker color, darker spots might be where you have a few shingle tabs that might have blown off. If there's some darker, really black kind of areas, you're looking at that backing. It's good to get the professionals out to check that out. Think about your lights, automatic light timers, motion detectors, all that stuff, especially while on vacation. A lot of vacations happening, so you want to make sure, good to have some motion lights, some dust of dawn lights, and maybe even some timered lights in the house that kind of click on and off at different times towards night, click off towards bedtime, maybe getting people thinking someone's around the house when you're really not. So it's definitely a great time to clean out your furnace filters. Make sure that's all still good as that AC runs. If that furnace filter is really clogged, it could start to freeze up that condensing unit there on in the line to it on that air conditioning. So you definitely don't want that to happen. And a lot of HVAC issues going on are really when the air stops working, it's changing those furnace filters. Keep it off, let it all kind of melt off, run it again. And then when the air is flowing well through the furnace, through the house, that condenser is going to work a lot better. And then as you're walking around outside, check out all the foundation that you can see, the foundation walls inside and out. But outside, you're really looking for any signs of termites. This is a big time of year where you're going to start to see they're wanting to get in. And so check for that. Contact a professional to check that out for you. So, again, we've got a lot of show, a lot of time for you today. We're going to jump into our first break, but Don't forget, this is all about you and everything you need, so you can get to me at 314-436-7900. Don't change that dial. Everybody, here we go. Home Improvement Show. Got plenty of time for you. Remember, this is all about you, your questions, your comments, your concern, what's happening in your house. Hey, do you have guests that came in for the holiday and you're just trying to keep the house up to snuff to keep them all in there and entertain and everything happening? Maybe you've got some questions about things that you need around the house. That's why we're here right now, right today. You can find me. We've got plenty of time for you. 314-436-7900. And, you know, speaking of calls and questions, last week we had a few really good conversations. Some are kind of sadly typical of some of the not great, imperfect ways, just things that we do when we work, when we build, and how we address issues as they come up and even trying to fix them. So like last week we talked to Tom about his entry door that was facing west, and it gets wind-driven rains and it leaks at the corner, bottom corners of the doors. And he went through and he changed the seals and did all this different type of work trying to adjust and snug up the door, thinking that this is coming in actually around the door. And his question was, maybe it's time just to get a better door. And I'm like, well, better door is a good thing and can help from that. But if you've done all that work and you don't necessarily see it physically coming in around the edges of that door and through the seals, and then asking the questions, what's your siding? What's around the house? How does it get? And it's vinyl siding around it. It has no cover, nothing to keep weather off of it. And basically, it's only when you get those wind-driven rains, especially if you have more levels, if you have a second floor, if you have windows, gable vents, things protruding through the siding above that area, you get a lot of water with those driven rains behind there. So I'm explaining to Tom how that water goes around that door behind the siding, and it's really coming in on those bottom corners, just running down the actual between the door frame and the framing of the home. And so things aren't flashed correctly. There isn't a water drainage plane put in that can control that water. So when we take that door out, of course, it's a perfect time to get a newer, better door, especially the older that it is, just to kind of refresh and make you not have to do it again once you get things around the door correctly. So you're really only purchasing the material of the door while you do that repair, because we want to take that door out and put a pan down, guide that water from the seal out, flash tape up the sides, wrap the wall itself so as that water comes down behind the siding, it can run where we want. We put a head flash, and we talked a lot about that last week with some house inspections I've done and looking over all your doors. If you have what they call that brick mold trim and you don't have a piece of metal over the top of that trim that sticks out, you can see this without taking the house apart. You can know that it's not performed the best way possible just by looking over that door. And if you don't see that piece of metal kind of bent out and on a 45-degree angle and that head flashing isn't there, it's not the best way possible. So you have water that runs behind that siding, and it's not just vinyl siding. It can be any siding. You can have hardy board, and if the caulk breaks, if they don't put the metal pieces behind the seams that bring that water back out to the front, they got to put that at every single seam to make that really function the best way possible. There's so many steps like that that unfortunately get missed and just don't always happen, that it causes a lot of these issues that we see on a daily basis pretty much. So we went through all of that. There was quite a few others that Bob was looking for some reduced amount of light coming through his skylight. So we talked about tinting. If a tinting film. We talked about some blinds that you can get for skylights that open and close. And that's a really neat thing that you can get that's solar powered and it's on a remote. So if you want the sun at one point, not the other, you can't really control that tint. You can pick it and how dark it is, but then you can't really change that up once it's on there. So we also had Mark with some rust coming down from his metal chimney cap onto his siding. And with rust, that metal is thinning and going away, so there's going to be a leak. So we had a good conversation about don't wait for the leak to happen. Once you start seeing that rust there, go ahead and get it taken care of. And you also want to make sure when they put that new metal cap on that they do that really, really well. So they'll put bends in it and they try and stiffen it so that water actually runs off. You want it to be high in the center and get that water to run off. And another common mistake is that metal pan kind of dips down, creates a puddle on top of that. And then that's where your rust is going to start. It's basically taking that cap that should last 20 to 30 years and saying, well, now it might only last 5 to 10 because we've got an area. And it'll depend on how much rain, how much does it get wet, how big is the puddle. But it'll definitely go away quicker. So these good products can be installed in a manner that really cuts that life expectancy easily in half. So we talked about a lot about that and how to install things well and different types of paint. And you really got to focus on where does water come from and what's behind it. Doesn't matter how good that outside surface is, if the base isn't good or if the base is getting wet from another source, from the gutters and the soffit and the fascia and stuff above it or the roof, it's really not going to help you out. So you got to make sure all those things are good and in place and really what they need to be. So, and then we had another one. This was a couple weeks ago. We had John called in and we were talking about he's trying to figure out a way to kill weeds on a gravel driveway. And he kind of started to mention doing like a homemade kind of weed spreader, taking a pipe and drilling some holes. And man, you really almost got to be like a good, handy, engineered mind to figure something like that out to really make it work well and get it even and not waste a whole lot as you're trying to make something like that work. But I did look and I found a ton of stuff online about some just things you can attach, little trailers and weed killer spreaders that are a couple hundred gallons. You put them on the back of like an ATV or whatever. And some of them were really only like three to some really nice looking big ones were about $900 or something. So a good way to make sure you do that right and well. But then the downside is you need an ATV or a riding lawnmower, a tractor or something that you can pull this thing around with. So it's not just getting that's going to help you. You got to have all the other equipment that you need too. But so we covered a lot of ground, did a lot of great things. And I like to kind of go over some of these stories and stuff so that you can also go back and you can go back into the Odyssey website. You can re-listen to the podcast of these shows. So if you hear something and you want to hear it again, or you didn't get quite all the information, you can go back, you can listen to these from weeks past on their website at Odyssey and get all the information that you need. Or again, you can call in today. We've got plenty of time, plenty of things to do for you, plenty of time to help you out. You can find me today, 314-436-7900. We're going to get into our middle hour break here. A lot more to come. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. And hopefully we'll get some conversations in here when we return. Right? All right. We are back. Lots of show here for you. No Cardinals till after 2 o'clock. So we got plenty of time for everybody. Don't forget, give me a shout. 314-436-7900 is the easiest way to find me, like Cindy did. We've got Cindy on the line here. Let's see what's going on. Hey, Cindy, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. What do you got going on?
So I have a leak in my basement, and I believe there's water getting in kind of behind the siding. It's bad when it rains.
Okay.
And my question is, who would I call to have that looked at?
So,
a siding person, a window person?
Well, and that's where it gets really, really complicated, because not all window people understand the wall system and the flashing and the house wrap and the water drainage planes, and not all siding people understand every aspect of that as well, and or the window install and the things that go with that, or they don't just practice like the best things possible to help control that, because it's not necessarily a requirement to do that when we side our house or when we have it re-sided. So really, so you believe it's coming from the top? Is it coming? Can you see it over the top of the foundation wall?
No, but I did have a foundation person come and look at it.
Okay.
And he did not think that there's a crack there. So where he thinks it's coming is where the foundation meets the house.
Yep.
There. And water's getting behind there, I guess, when it rains, behind
yep.
the
is it,
windows.
Yeah, is it vinyl siding on the home?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's probably on the right track, and that was where I was going to kind of look, too, is because you've got sometimes foundation, and that's completely different system, different people than the actual wall and everything going on up top. So, and it's not hard to pull some of that siding back and look at the conditions underneath it and really learn and figure out what's going on. It more than likely it's coming around like a window or a door or something a little higher up on that siding. It could even be vents, the dryer vent that pops through, or anything like that that penetrates that siding is a good quick place for water to get in, and then it runs down the wall to the top of that foundation. So I would say you really, Mosby Building Arts, where I come out and take a look at this, pull some siding off, see where the water's in the basement, see what's above it, make a determination of how the whole house siding system is, and then we can recommend. So either myself or one of our exteriors sales consultants at Mosby Building Arts has the knowledge and can get deep into that. And we understand, we install the windows, we install the siding, the flashing, the drainage plane, all of that stuff with our own employees. So we can get to the bottom of that and really show you everything that could be going on. Cause there could be more even higher up. Sometimes you really got to look at the whole system.
Well, I've had it also on a bedroom window where the water was coming in at the window.
Yeah, and you see it at the bottom corners of the window or the top corner? Yeah.
Bottom corners. And we caulked up there, and that held it, but I think the windows were probably put in wrong, or the siding around it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, have the windows been replaced since the home was built?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so
they were replaced about 20 years ago.
Yep. So you're going to have a typical replacement window install that isn't flashed to the wall. So there's a lot of opportunity for water to get inside that wall system once it gets behind the siding.
Okay.
Yep. So I mean, for me, the only people I know other than myself is some of our other exteriors consultants at Mosby Building Arts that can really explain and settle you with a fix that you understand with the right people that will do exactly that, have been trained and understand it and do it for that reason.
Uh-huh.
So I would say definitely give our office a call. If anything, find out, see what it is, and really learn what it takes, then you can kind of make educated decisions from that point on and getting it taken care of. So our number at the office is 314-909-1800.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem, Cindy. Good luck. Hopefully it's not as bad as we think, but it's probably that typical install, I'm sure. So we've got Marlene on the line, I believe it is. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here, and I can hear you.
All right, what's up?
My question's got to do with my recent water bill.
Uh-huh.
My water bills usually run around $35 to $40, and this one is $181.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was wondering if I have how can I check to see if I have a leak someplace?
Well,
I mean, I cannot.
Yeah, it can get difficult, and I'll tell you something that one of the first things I would try is if you get a time, because sometimes the meters, if they're older meters, they just go bad.
Uh-huh.
And they will just literally run. So if you can find a time maybe overnight or during the day while you go to work where you can shut the water off to the whole home.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to make sure that that's working, number one, because if it's not, it'll still let some water through. But to find out if it's something in your house, shut the water off so that it's 100% off from the main coming in the house. Basically, look at that meter and write down the number that it's at.
Okay.
And then 8 hours later, 9 hours later, when you come home from work, if no one's been in the house and no water has run, that number should not have changed.
What a great idea. Thank you.
So
I appreciate your help.
I've caught that a couple times in the past where people were battling this and having them look at the house and all this different stuff. Now, it still could be something in your house where if you have a toilet that's kind of running and it's leaking into the bowl, and so it keeps refilling itself, and maybe it's on a far end of the house and you don't hear it. There's things like that in the house that can be going on that's using up that water and making it run through. So if it doesn't move with that meter, then after you do that test, then you know to kind of start looking at the different areas of the house and maybe getting, if you can't find anything, getting a plumber involved to say what they think, what's going on. But and then the next thing is to call the actual water company and have them come out and test their meter and look and make sure nothing's going on. Because sometimes if your meter is out in the yard, then if the shut off, everything's out there and the meter's out in the yard where you got to take a cover off the yard to look down at that meter, then it could be somewhere in your yard where it's doing it between the meter and the house.
Okay.
So is your meter in the basement?
You know.
It might be in the yard.
It might be in the yard.
Yeah. So then I'd start with the water company with making sure nothing's happening in the yard.
Okay. Okay. Well, I really appreciate all your information. Gives me something to check and someplace to start.
Good place to start. Yep. No problem. Appreciate the call. Yeah, no, appreciate the question. It's something a lot of us have battled over time of these leaks occur, and then all of a sudden you get a really big water bill, and it happens. Sometimes it happened for a couple months if you're on an auto pay or something before you even notice. So keep your eye out for that. We're gonna get into our last break of the hour. We got another segment and a whole nother hour for everybody after this, so feel free to get a hold of me, 314-436-7900. For now, stick around. More Home Improvement Show to come.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
I got all the time in the world.
All right, we are back. Final segment for this hour, but don't fret. We got plenty of time in this segment. and plenty of time in the whole next hour to get your questions, concerns out there answered for you. What do you have going on that might be a little odd, strange around the house? Or you maybe getting ready for a DIY project and maybe just want a little advice. What have we seen? What have we done? Consider me kind of that person that's done so much of it and learned from seeing so much in making mistakes, seeing mistakes, understanding and getting trained in a lot of different aspects of the house. Some of this is kind of theories looking into till we really get in deep and figure it out. But understanding those theories, I can help you out right here today. Give me a shout, 436-7900. 314-436-7900 is how you will find me. And for those of you that maybe are a little newer and don't know me, haven't heard kind of what have I done, where have I, why am I even here, and why do I even do this? Well, first of all, I love helping out. This is basically what I do, what I perform every day at my job at Mosby Building Arts, being a senior sales consultant, going to homes, and really whether it's remodeling, whether it's building an addition, looking at site conditions, and just talking about what needs to happen, what are the next steps, how do we get through things, why would we pick a certain path, getting everyone to understand this is what could happen if you do it a different way, because there's several ways to do several things. So understanding all of them and knowing this type of window install, I get a 1-year workmanship warranty and it's going to be good and it's going to work. It'll be better insulated and everything, but might come with some issues down the road if I have wind-driven rains and all these things you hear about. Or this type of window, I get a 10-year warranty and it include leaks, and it's the preferred method that we really, really know, understand, and love. But maybe you're only going to live in the house for a couple years. There's all these different things to look and think about. So let's see what Janice is thinking about. We got Janice on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, awesome. Thanks for calling in. What do you have?
Thank you. I have a front door that has leaded glass, and it has lost its seal. I probably have an inkling of what you're going to tell me, but I would love to keep it. We're not moving. We're going to be keeping the house. Asking if there is anywhere or you can give me a recommendation to get it resealed and whatever, because it is dirty in between the two glasses and it's kind of driving me a little nutso.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. So, yeah, that I don't, off the top of my head, I do not have a recommendation of a person, mainly because you're kind of looking for an artist kind of rework the leaded glass and rebuild and work on that to get that particular one back up. So it's like plaster work, you know, real plastering, some of these things, plaster trims, these things are going away, and the new products we're getting, especially like with doors, that glass, you kind of pick it and it comes as a insulated glass unit. It's made in a factory. And so that person that does that type of stuff is just becoming not so many of them. They're kind of going away. There's fewer and fewer all the time. We may have a recommendation on our list at our office at Mosby Building Arts. If you want to try and call and ask and see if we have a recommendation of a person that does that, I don't know off the top of my head, but if you call our office during the week and just ask that question, that number is 314-909-1800. We have a list of just companies that we work with and different things like that we've compiled that we use, and there are people that we've either used in the past or we know of and that we know and like, and they can let you know if there's somebody on that list that, that could help you out with that. But you're definitely in kind of a dying need of what they do. It's going away. And a lot of people will just guide you to replace your whole door and find a decorative leaded type looking glass that comes in the new door to replace it. But not all those styles. I get keeping the old. I absolutely love it. And if you can refresh it, I think it'd be a great idea.
I would love to. And thank you very much for your information. I will definitely give your office a call next week.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, appreciate it. And we can do that for anybody out there. So you can find Mosby. You can check us out at callmosby.com. Or we have a lot of these recommendations. And you can kind of find out, too, there might be some things that people are looking for a recommendation, but we actually end up doing that. And we go, no, we actually have people, and we can get through something like that, and we can help you with that. But or you can give us a call, 314-909-1800, to reach Mosby and see about all those different references. We've got them for pest control. We've got them for absolutely everything, every type of piece of our industry that exists. We would definitely have something for you. And in looking at all of that, and kind of what we've done as a company, and even for me and my position and what I do and how I work, and starting out as a project manager and running jobs for Scott Mosby and for Mosby Building Arts, there was a lot of education and teaching and learning and understanding that came into play during all of that that really kind of led me into where I am today and what I do today, and kind of a newfound love of how I help people, because I used to help them by learning the stuff and understanding it and actually getting to fix it or train people to fix it. And then it kind of moves down the line. And then they're like, well, what if you started looking at it up front and explaining, now that we've got these people and the staff and everything happening, you can explain to them what's happening, why. Here's the whole story. Here's where I got my education and figured this out. So a lot of things that that I've been through training and education as far as roofing, siding, moisture, Energy Star certifications, trained by the Building Performance Institute. Really, they look really at how that house is built scientifically, how it needs to be, how it needs to act, all of that. So there's so much lead safe work practices, certified renovator, shingle applicator. I mean, just you got to learn and know and understand all this to really be able to pass that education down and get somebody to really understand what's going to happen, why it needs to happen, and when is it the best thing for them to do. So that's what I'm trying to do every day. You can find me at Mosby Building Arts or right here every Saturday on KMOX. Don't forget, you can give me a call. We got a whole nother hour show coming up. Kim holds the line through the break. That would be great. And you can find me at 314-436-7900. We'll be back.
To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, guys, here we go. Second hour. I want to welcome in the 97.1 FM crew. Everybody there, glad to have you at the show. Just like the KMOX crowd, you can all find me at 314-436-7900. We are back. We got a whole nother hour to go for your comments, your questions, your concern, your DIY projects, everything you have going on. And if Kim's out there, we lost her over the break. If you want to call back, I'm right here for you again. 314-436-7900. Get you directly to me, and we can help you out. Anything you need. Let's get that home up to stuff. Let's make it your dream home, whatever you have going on. A lot of questions about the common St. Louis thing. We get a lot of hard rains. We get a lot of wind-driven rains, and we have a lot of leaks. You know, one of our newer consultants at Mosby Building Arts that does this came from Texas, and he has been doing this with us about a year, and he is just baffled with the things that he sees here that he never, ever dealt with in Texas. And he's like, wow, it's just so different. It's amazing. So he is learning a lot from myself and from all of our consultants there at Mosby, kind of helping him out, figure out what St. Louis has done to their homes. And speaking of what has St. Louis done to our homes, let's get with Kim. She called back in. Kim, are you there? Thanks for calling.
I am. Sorry I missed you.
Oh, that's okay.
My question is, I'm building a new home, and I need some information on water softener, water conditioners, what's on the market, do's and don'ts.
Oh, yeah. So what area are you building your home in?
Lincoln County, Moscow Mills, Missouri.
Okay, so I'm not real familiar.
I'm on a well.
You're on a well. Okay, so then,
yes.
Yeah. Then you definitely you want something that's going to work really well. You want to get a good water softener system and have it maintained really, really well. So definitely there's different systems out there. And for me, I definitely typically go to an actual water softener. I'm not real thrilled with some of those systems that they just put on the pipe and it kind of put some ions and stuff,
you need, like, the
electrons
and
like an actual salt water softener that will work well, that can be maintained well. So Aqua Systems is what I have recommended for a really, really long time, because they can come out and really explain what would work well for your well. And the thing I really love about Aqua Systems is they also maintain the units. They can set you up on a maintenance schedule. They can have the salt delivered to your house. They can bring it in and put it in. They can do basically everything for it. So they can check it once a year, make sure everything's running well. Okay. It's their systems, and they run the warranty and all of that stuff. So it's a great service that you can have with them through owning the system the whole time.
Okay, where are they located?
They're out here in kind of like the St. Louis Kirkwood area. I'm pretty sure they would definitely get out your way without a problem. And you can look them up. Their website is ilovemywater.com. So you can look them up there. Yeah. And they do some really great things, and they're like me. They're not into all those systems that are different, that do the electronic stuff or the lights and the different things.
Because
a lot of those, it's like they work well in their space, but then once you get 30, 40 feet, that stuff might be coming back. And when they test the water later, I don't know that the results are as well as they are is when they're like inside of that 10 feet or, you know, where it's actually working. So there's just a lot of kind of pros and cons there that these systems will work, will run. They take maintenance. You'll have a yearly thing you'll want to do just to make sure. And what I always recommend is just let the pro handle that. Let them, exactly. It's kind of like you do your furnace. Do you inspect your own furnace?
Yeah. You know, I listen to it, but I don't do any inspections on it.
I don't inspect my own furnace. And, you know, so I'm like, so let the pro at that come in and do their thing and keep maintaining it, and then it will last and it will work. And they come with some really great warranties. And you can see the pricing, all the stuff right there on their website. They've got everything there, so you can almost kind of see what you like and pick stuff out before you even have them out or meet with them. So,
sure. And that's at ilovemywater.com.
Yep, that's their website.
Okay. Sounds great. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate the call and a really good question. It's something that I haven't actually went over in quite some time with the water softeners and how those work. And I've had in years past, I've had Aqua Systems on several times, and they used to actually sponsor my Ride at Home with Rich show on 97.1 years back. And we would have them on all the time. And they really, it's amazing the information about water that's out there and that they know and that they understand in doing all of this. It's quite cool. But the other thing that's great about having a water softener, if you're in an area like that, if you're on a well or if you're in an area with hard water, not only is it cleaner and it gets rid of the stains that you get, the orange hard water stains, but when you do your laundry, when you take a shower, I mean, the soap you need is a third of what you need with hard water. It will make your dishwasher last longer. It will just make everything so much better when that water is good and healthy and can work right and not have all those minerals and deposits and everything in it. It'll make your faucets last longer, not clog up, not get all those calcium deposits as much. It's just so much better for the entire system and the entire home. So, and then again, being out there on a well, if Kim's on a septic system, you're going to want to do the Ridex stuff. You're going to want to get a garbage disposal that has the Ridex in it. So when you're draining and doing all that, it's just automatically happening when you use your system. And so there's a lot of things like that with the water coming in, the drainage, everything. That's just great things to do when you're out there and you're on a well and you're on a septic system like that. So definitely a lot of things we can go over. And we got three more segments coming up for everybody. We're going to get to our first break here, but don't forget to find me anything you need, 314-436-7900 right here on KMOX. Do not touch that dial. We'll be back. All right, guys, we are back. A lot of show left for you. A lot of time for anything you need. Remember, anything, you got DIY projects going on, anything you're curious about, maybe you've just always wondered what's up with something that's happening. Sounds, anything, we can try and help you with anything that we can. And the thing that I love about being here with KMOX, with such just a great broad audience, and we reach so far, there are so many plumbers and electricians and carpenters and just the workforce, HVAC people that listen to this program that just love everything about a house, that can call in when I don't know the exact answer to something and we're going to do some research, or people can call in with comments to what just happened, that, well, I've done this and this is what we found. And that is just a great community. What I love about doing this and helping out. So I'm here for you. 314-436-7900. Get you right to me right now. We've got a lot of time for you. And speaking about just kind of running around and helping out, so that's what I do every day for Mosby Building Arts. And I love to just kind of bring up some of those conversations that I have, because they're very, very similar to the conversations that we have here. It's what people are wondering. It's what they're they're asking about. It's their ideas and their thoughts. So when you're going to do something, it's not all just about renovation or remodeling or building or room additions. So I do a lot of stuff out there where I meet with people and I talk and I help determine how big of an update, how much of a renovation, what are you really after, what can we do, and what do we think could work for you in your project and how to help, or the concerns and the issues. We see a lot of things with the houses that leaks and just weird things and noises and problems and how to solve things. And we've learned so much about the houses over the years. We help with that on a daily basis. And it's not just me. There's a lot of us here at Mosby Building Arts that do what I do. And we're working together and we're educating and we're getting everybody up to speed to help out, because the better we all do, the better we do as a whole together. So, hey, we've got Bob on the line here, has a question for us. Bob, are you there?
Yes, I am, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. What's going on?
Well, I got a question about some excavation work. I would like to make a footing and do some concrete work and build like a storage building, actually a garage size, at least a 1.5 car size building. How far would I have to go down if I know that some of that soil is fill? I mean, is there any certain parameters, or would you take and would you peer it? You know, once you think you've, you know, hit 3 or 4 feet, you know, because, you know, that type of a thing. You know, it's probably about, I'm going to say it's like a 30-degree angle, you know, the downside of it. But then it has a flat side that's closer to the foundation of the house, maybe about 20 foot away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so is there any certain parameters or any certain ideas that you may have in order to do that? And, of course, you know, build a safe and, a durable structure. You know,
last
me, because I'm an old guy, so it's kind of outlast me.
And there is, but the issue with the hard part about answering something like that is you need to know or learn the condition of the soil, because
right.
your answer truly lies within how much fill, how deep, and what type of soil is beneath that.
Okay.
So it's hard to tell, because when you typically dig a foundation for a storage building or a garage, something that's going to have a concrete floor, it won't have a basement or anything underneath it.
Right.
You're going down like 32 inches minimum, 3 feet, something like that. And the goal for that is getting below the frost line. You want to be where it won't ever freeze. So what you do from there or before there depends on what that soil is. So if you have another foot of fill, they're going to say, we'll just dig 4 feet. And you're to good soil, and you could do it. And if it's a whole lot of fill, there's ways you can only dig. You dig down to like the 3 feet, but there's construction piers that you could put in. They're like helical piers when you pier your home, but they're for new construction. So basically they put in these metal helical piers every so often in where the footing's going to go. And then there's a bracket they put on it that kind of spreads out, and that goes into that footing. And when that footing's poured, you've got a pier like every 6 feet that those can go down 20 or 30 feet and hit bedrock or hit really super hard soil. So really what I would recommend is, in knowing where this is going to be built, I would have an engineer come out and test the soil. They drill down like a 3-4 inch hole or whatever, and they pull the soil right out of the ground, and then they can tell you and advise you, and they could say, wow, we went down 6 feet and we're still hitting fill. Then you know.
Yeah.
Just go to that new construction style helical pier. That's what's going to happen. Or if they find out something better, easier, they can advise that solution. I've had it where we've went down like 5 feet and put in like 2 feet of compacted rock and compact the rock so hard, and then your footing goes on that and you're fine. So it's a lot of different answers, and the key is have a soils engineer test that soil and pull out a plug and figure out what it is, and then they can get you that exact answer. So it can save you a lot down the road as you're building.
Right, yeah. I mean, in years past, I built one of those concrete block walls that you were talking about last week.
Uh-huh,
Three by two by, two, basically, I mean, where they're stackable. And I did have an engineer come out at that time and do some soil testing. And, I have an upper wall and then a lower wall. So it's all, runs in that same area,
Yep.
The bottom, of course, that wall is way longer than the top wall, which is, very close to the house. And I know over the decades, I've had the soil compacted, and, I've poured, how many tons of rock near that. And I have a patio as well. But, I appreciate your answer to that. It makes a lot of sense. I just wanted to build something that was going to be durable and that, wasn't going to just fall apart. And, maybe later on cost a lot more money to have somebody else fix it, or even me.
Yeah, well, and it'll cost less money to do those new construction helical piers now than it will to do it to a structure that you've built and is sinking.
Okay.
It definitely costs less now, so it's worth finding out, knowing exactly what you need to do, because they'll have easier access. They could get them in easier. They won't. The excavators will excavate, so they won't need to like do a whole bunch of digging to get their pier in. When your building's built, they got to dig all around it.
Yeah, right.
And then repair all that to get a pier in. So it's easily 30% to 50% more to do a pier once a structure's there than it is before it's built.
Yeah, and can I ask you this question? Are there any certain companies that you might recommend that would work along that vein? I mean, we've had some contractors here in our area that have built some structures that have not held up.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it something where I should call Mosby and say, hey, can you direct me to a guy, or do you guys want to come out and take a look at it, or what would be that part of the process?
So that will definitely, my recommendation on that will definitely depend on what type of level of service are you looking for in getting this done? Because you're asking a lot of great questions, which is the right direction for sure up front. So if this is something that you're saying, well, I'll just find people and I'll kind of supervise and oversee this build, and I'm going to bring in the peering guy, and I'm going to bring in the engineer, and I'm going to bring in a concrete guy, then I would have recommendations on a lot of those people.
Okay.
If you said, I want somebody to look at it, design it, show me how big it can be, and basically you take responsibility for it, you build the whole thing, just take care of me. I want to just start using this thing when it's done and know that it's done well and get a great long warranty with that. Then I would say, call Mosby Building Arts. Let's come out, have a conversation, and talk to you about when we build garages, how we do it, what's different, how do we go through it. We can talk about the investments and other garages that we've done to make sure we're on the right track, and really explain this is what we do and why we do it. And it's just a really different and better level of service from start to finish. So it's not a bad idea to have those conversations either way you think you want to go, because then you can make a good educated decision on, do I really want to do this myself?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've got some experience at doing this type of work, but I'm not a professional.
Yeah.
But so I always ask for advice from guys like you, and I really trust your opinion and Mosby Building Arts' opinion as well.
Yeah,
I
appreciate that. That's awesome. So yeah, I would say I would recommend definitely if you're kind of going down the road and want to get things done and built, and you're finding out information, Stratum Structural Systems is who we would have put those construction piers in for us if we needed them.
Okay, gotcha.
but we would do the engineer. We would do all that stuff to find out exactly what we think we need and then develop that whole build all the way through. Shingles are on it and you're living in it. So we can take you there. So, hey, we got to get to our middle hour break here. So, Cheryl, if you could hold the line here through a quick break. It won't take long. We'll get to you as soon as we get back. And for everybody else, we'll have more to come, more for you. 314-436-7900. Get you directly to me. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back. A lot happening, a lot going on. You can find me for the rest of the show right here. Anything you need about your house, 314-436-7900. Let me help you make your house the home of your dreams. And let's try that with Cheryl and see what's going on. Maybe we can help her out. Cheryl, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. I have a question about building an accessible bathroom. And in particular, the roll-in shower. I'd like to know the size, what kind of doors are on it, and why would that, if it's basically flat, why would that not leak water out onto the floor?
Yes. So that is definitely a great question. And as far as size goes, there's a big difference between like a universal design, help people out, help them get in and out of the shower easier, and then like handicap accessibility. So if you're looking for a handicap accessibility wheelchair, you need a 5-foot like turning radius to be able to get a wheelchair in and out and be able to do anything with it. So a shower that you're going to want to put a wheelchair in is going to need to be bigger than 5 foot by 5 foot. So 5.5 or 6 foot by 6 foot, something like that is a good size for getting that in and out. When we look at how that floor slopes and what happens to the water, that's another reason a lot of times that we want these showers to be a good size or to have a shape to them, like an L, where maybe you have a big shower without a step that's 5 foot by 5 foot, but there's kind of a 3-foot wide little hallway that gets you down to it, and then you turn and you go in, and that can help control keeping the water inside that shower area. Because your curb, the higher your curb, the more the water stays in. And, right. And so that's the plus side of a curb or a tub. You have a curtain comes down, it hits the curb or goes inside the tub, and it keeps all the water in. So the challenge is keeping the water in once you don't have a curb at all. So different ways that we can do this is you can do what we call a low-profile shower base in a ramp. So they make a little, like, 4 or 5-inch ramp, and it only ramps up about an inch to that shower floor, and then you can kind of roll right in. And they also, with that system, they make a rubber piece that kind of just sticks down, and it's an L shape, so it sticks up about an inch high. So if you don't want a shower door, you can have a shower curtain that would kind of go up against that rubber lip. And the cool thing about that rubber lip is if you roll over it with a wheelchair, if you step on it, it just smashes and goes right back up. So it doesn't impede getting in and out of the shower. So that's one way it can be handled without taking out the floor or lowering the floor, because the way the water stays in, if you don't raise a shower base in order to get into it, then you lower the floor in the bathroom in that shower area, so there's a slight slope away from where you come into the shower. So that's how you control keeping the water in there. So you have some framing work to do with your subfloor in order to lower the floor so that it drains the water towards a drain inside the shower area. And we do it all the time. It's not a big deal. It just, it's some labor. It's a lot of work. Sometimes you need to get into the basement and double up some of your floor joists and stuff, and then we cut them down and lower them so that we can create slope. And we do that because if you come in from, like, your carpet on the bedroom onto that ceramic tile, you want that to be as flush as possible so there's no tripping hazard. And then as you walk through the bathroom and you get to the shower, it just starts running downhill towards a drain. And for the most part, nowadays, we would just put like a trench drain against the wall. So the whole floor just slopes towards the wall and all the water goes down into a really long drain and goes away. So that'll kind of control it and keep it in. But it takes some space because if you try that in a small shower, then a lot of it will get outside of that area and get over onto the floor. And when you're, when you have accessible, when you need help, it's hard to have a shower door. You're better off with no door or a curtain that someone can move very easily and assist. Because usually when you want true accessibility, we have to, it's a good idea to also consider who's going to help you and how are they going to do it. So if you have a shower door and it only slides open and there's only half the opening, it's hard for someone to help somebody get in and out of the shower with a shower door. So we get the bigger showers that slope in for that accessibility so that someone can also help you later on in your time of need too. So there's a lot to consider with that. So hopefully that was helpful. Did that get all the questions that you had?
It's helpful. What size room would be ideal for a shower of that type? You know,
So, I mean, your typical, like, hallway 5x8 bathroom is not going to fit a shower that's going to work out super well accessibility wise and everything like that. You're going to need at least, probably the smallest I've done it is we've taken, I had one a couple years ago where it was a 5x8 bathroom with a regular like shower bathtub. So it was 5 foot wide. But it was only about 3 foot deep, but there was a closet on the other side. And so we took some of that closet away to make it a 5 foot by 5 foot square for the shower. And that basically made, you know, we added about 3 feet to that or so. So it made it, instead of a 5x8, it made it like a 5x11 or 5x12 room. That's going to be about the smallest room you'll have that would accommodate any kind of shower like that. And anything else, it just starts becoming bigger. So we do them a lot if it's a smaller bathroom where we just take away from a closet or a bedroom or something adjacent and just add the shower space that we need off the room. Because a lot of bedrooms are good size and we can kind of steal 3-4 feet from a bedroom or a closet, and that's not the biggest deal to do that. So, but any bigger room, any bigger master bathroom generally fits those showers pretty well. Our designers are good at designing those into rooms. So if you have a master bathroom that's got a tub and a shower, those are typically almost always big enough to do something with.
Okay. And last question, can you recommend any good websites for just looking at pictures of accessible bathrooms?
So I would say try Houzz, H-O-U-Z-Z.
Okay.
It's Houzz.com, H-O-U-Z-Z.com. And that site is just it's a billion photographs of houses, of interiors, of exteriors, of everything about a house renovation, hundreds and hundreds of remodelers, builders, and renovators across the country just put their photos there. And the good thing about it is you can filter it out. So you can say, okay, I want to look at accessible bathrooms, and it will filter that and show you a bunch of accessible bathrooms. You might even be able to say accessible shower, and it might narrow it down to showers too. And there will be hundreds, thousands of photographs to look at.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. You're welcome. Hey, great question, great topic. I really appreciate you calling in and getting that topic out there for us, because it's a important thing, especially in St. Louis. We're an older area, older community. We have a lot of older homes with older people that need this stuff done. So I love that question, and I love that call. We're going to get into our break here. But hey, I did want to tell you guys about B&W Concrete Services. So hey, for all your concrete needs, like myself, like Mosby, let B&W Concrete be your source for all things concrete. You will absolutely love them. They do everything. They install the right way. We love the way they do things. You can find them at B&W Concrete at 636-458-3626. You can find them online, bwconcrete.com. They're going to do it right. They're going to do it well. You will have peace of mind. They will seal it. They can do every type of concrete, standard, custom, decorative, new construction concrete, tear-out replacement. They do it all. Give B&W a shot at 636-458-3626 or bwconcrete.com. You'll love them just like we do. All right, guys, we're back. And let me tell you, boy, we've had some really great, great conversations. And that accessible bathroom is a conversation we get in all the time. And it's something we do all the time. I should have really mentioned, too, that you can go to our website, callmosby.com. Go to Mosby's site, and you will see some of the accessible bathrooms that we've built with showers and things like that. Now, House is going to have more, and you may even see some of ours on House. House is great in order to really see different things. And we use it a lot, and our designers use House a lot with our clients to really help determine just what catches your eye, what do you like, and it's great for what you dislike. So when you can get an account on House, and you can share that with your designer, interior designer, architect, whatever, however you're doing things, and you can attach notes with them. So our designers will tell our clients all the time, well, when you go there, look through it, search for this, but don't only show me things that you like, show me things that you don't like. So if you come to a photo and you go, oh gosh, I don't like that backsplash tile at all, mark that like that so they can see some of the, oh, you like this and you dislike that. And it really can help them put together the selections and help assist everyone in picking out things that are really going to work well for them and get them into just such a great aesthetically looking project too. Because when we do these accessible bathrooms, they're not like they used to be. So When you walked into an accessible or a handicap enabled bathroom years ago, you knew you were there. You could tell by the bars, you could tell by everything about the way this is done that this is what was built and that's why. Nowadays, the things that you can pick and the things that you can put in there and the types of tiles and the look and how we can do the access and everything, it can look like your ordinary everyday bathroom with really nice towel bars and really nice decorative looking towel bars. And they've even the shower valve, some of them have a handle on the valve. So it's right in front of you while you're showering, not just on the side or not just when getting in and out, but they're so nice and so decorative. You can make it look like it's just meant to be. It's normal. so people don't walk in that bathroom later and want to change it. They like the way it looks, and it's better for everybody. So universal design has kind of helped take us there and really get us to think outside of the box, so that, because not everybody needs exact accessibility. And when you think about handicap, true handicap accessibility, that was meant more for not one person or one family's day-to-day life, but a mass of people that need assistance getting in and out of commercial buildings and bathrooms and all of this. So with the new theory of universal design, residentially, we don't have to follow all those rules, but we can still make it 75-80% better for you, your situation. And everybody's situation is a little bit different. So when we were developing the bathroom that I was just talking with Cheryl about, how we took some of the closet, made the shower bigger, as we were designing that, my designer kept kind of saying, well, we should take this other wall. We should make this bathroom wider than 5 foot just to make it better for this reason, for that reason, for different things. But when we got together with the actual physical therapist that's working with the person that lives in the house and needs this bathroom to be changed, that physical therapist said, don't move that wall. Here's why. Here's what we're going to put on it. Here's how this person's going to use that bathroom to get on and off the toilet and to get in and out of the shower. And we even learned that, well, so we were trying to go all the way to this handicap accessibility, and the health professional is telling us, nope, you're taking it too far for this person. So it's so awesome to think about the needs of who's there, and you can think about everyone else and not create something that makes it bad for them too, but really focusing on what they're going through and what they need is what makes it really work out for them. And this is something that we can help everybody out with. I'd encourage you to check it out, callmosby.com. You can see those accessible bathrooms, different bathrooms that we've done. We can mix all that up, and we've got all the people to get it all right and do everything for you. And we do a ton of different things like that, to just like I'm doing right here today. I just want to help everybody out and get great information for you and see if we can really make St. Louis better all across the board. So, hey, had a great time. Love it. Thanks for all the calls. Had a great list of awesome questions. So, hey, I'll be back next week. So for everybody out there, be good to yourselves, be good to your homes, and I will talk to everybody next week. So we can take you there. So, hey, we got to get to our middle hour break here. So, Cheryl, if you could hold the line here through a quick break. It won't take long. We'll get to you as soon as we get back. And for everybody else, we'll have more to come, more for you. 314-436-7900. Get you directly to me. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back. A lot happening, a lot going on. You can find me for the rest of the show right here. Anything you need about your house, 314-436-7900. Let me help you make your house the home of your dreams. And let's try that with Cheryl and see what's going on. Maybe we can help her out. Cheryl, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. I have a question about building an accessible bathroom, and in particular, the roll-in shower. I'd like to know the size, what kind of doors are on it, and why would that, if it's basically flat, why would that not leak water out onto the floor?
Yes. So that is definitely a great question. And as far as size goes, there's a big difference between like a universal design, help people out, help them get in and out of the shower easier, and then like handicap accessibility. So if you're looking for a handicap accessibility wheelchair, you need a 5 foot like turning radius to be able to get a wheelchair in and out and be able to do anything with it. So a shower that you're going to want to put a wheelchair in is going to need to be bigger than 5 foot by 5 foot. So 5.5 or 6 foot by 6 foot, something like that is a good size for getting that in and out. When we look at how that floor slopes and what happens to the water, that's another reason a lot of times that we want these showers to be a good size or to have a shape to them like an L, where maybe you have a big shower without a step that's 5 foot by 5 foot, but there's kind of a 3 foot wide little hallway that gets you down to it, and then you turn and you go in, and that can help control keeping the water inside that shower area. Because your curb, the higher your curb, the more the water stays in. And, right. And so that's the plus side of a curb or a tub. You have a curtain comes down, it hits the curb or goes inside the tub, and it keeps all the water in. So the challenge is keeping the water in once you don't have a curb at all. So different ways that we can do this is you can do what we call a low-profile shower base in a ramp. So they make a little, like, 4 or 5-inch ramp, and it only ramps up about an inch to that shower floor, and then you can kind of roll right in. And they also, with that system, they make a rubber piece that kind of just sticks down. And it's an L shape, so it sticks up about an inch high. So if you don't want a shower door, you can have a shower curtain that would kind of go up against that rubber lip. And the cool thing about that rubber lip is if you roll over it with a wheelchair, if you step on it, it just smashes and goes right back up. So it doesn't impede getting in and out of the shower. So that's one way it can be handled without taking out the floor or lowering the floor, because the way the water stays in, if you don't raise a shower base in order to get into it, then you lower the floor in the bathroom in that shower area, so there's a slight slope away from where you come into the shower. So that's how you control keeping the water in there. So you have some framing work to do with your subfloor in order to lower the floor so that it drains the water towards a drain inside the shower area. And we do it all the time. It's not a big deal. It just, it's some labor. It's a lot of work. Sometimes you need to get into the basement and double up some of your floor joists and stuff. And then we cut them down and lower them so that we can create slope. And we do that because if you come in from like your carpet on the bedroom onto that ceramic tile, you want that to be as flush as possible so there's no tripping hazard. And then as you walk through the bathroom and you get to the shower, it just starts running downhill towards a drain. And for the most part, nowadays, we would just put like a trench drain against the wall so the whole floor just slopes towards the wall and all the water goes down into a really long drain and goes away. So that'll kind of control it and keep it in. But it takes some space, because if you try that in a small shower, then a lot of it'll get outside of that area and get over onto the floor. And when you need help, it's hard to have a shower door. You're better off with no door or a curtain that someone can move very easily and assist, because usually when you want true accessibility, we have to, it's a good idea to also consider who's going to help you and how are they going to do it. So if you have a shower door and it only slides open and there's only half the opening, it's hard for someone to help somebody get in and out of the shower with a shower door. So we get the bigger showers that slope in for that accessibility so that someone can also help you later on in your time of need too. So there's a lot to consider with that. So hopefully that was helpful. Did that get all the questions that you had?
It's helpful. What size room would be ideal for a shower of that type, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, your typical, like, hallway 5x8 bathroom is not going to fit a shower that's going to work out super well accessibility-wise and everything like that. You're going to need at least, probably the smallest I've done it is we've taken, I had one a couple years ago where it was a 5x8 bathroom with a regular like shower bathtub. So it was 5 foot wide, but it was only about 3 foot deep, but there was a closet on the other side. And so we took some of that closet away to make it a 5 foot by 5 foot square for the shower. And that basically made, you know, we added about 3 feet to that or so. So it made it, instead of a 5x8, it made it like a 5x11 or 5x12 room. That's going to be about the smallest room you'll have that would accommodate any kind of shower like that. And anything else, it just starts becoming bigger. So we do them a lot if it's a smaller bathroom where we just take away from a closet or a bedroom or something adjacent and just add the shower space that we need off the room. Because a lot of bedrooms are good size and we can kind of steal 3-4 feet from a bedroom or a closet, and that's not the biggest deal to do that. So, but any bigger room, any bigger master bathroom generally fits those showers pretty well. Our designers are good at designing those into rooms. So if you have a master bathroom that's got a tub and a shower, those are typically almost always big enough to do something with.
Okay. And last question, can you recommend any good websites for just looking at pictures of accessible bathrooms?
So I would say try Houzz, H-O-U-Z-Z.
Okay.
It's Houzz.com, H-O-U-Z-Z.com. And that site is just it's a billion photographs of houses, of interiors, of exteriors, of everything about a house, renovation, hundreds and hundreds of remodelers, builders, and renovators across the country just put their photos there. And the good thing about it is you can filter it out. So you can say, okay, I want to look at accessible bathrooms, and it will filter that and show you a bunch of accessible bathrooms. You might even be able to say accessible shower, and it might narrow it down to showers too. And there will be hundreds, thousands of photographs to look at.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. You're welcome. Hey, great question, great topic. I really appreciate you calling in and getting that topic out there for us, because it's a important thing, especially in St. Louis. We're an older area, older community. We have a lot of older homes with older people that need this stuff done. So I love that question and I love that call. We're going to get into our break here, but hey, I did want to tell you guys about B&W Concrete Services. So, hey, for all your concrete needs, like myself, like Mosby, let B&W Concrete be your source for all things concrete. You will absolutely love them. They do everything. They install the right way. We love the way they do things. You can find them at B&W Concrete at 636-458-3626. You can find them online, bwconcrete.com. They're going to do it right. They're going to do it well. You will have peace of mind. They will seal it. They can do every type of concrete, standard, custom, decorative, new construction concrete, tear-out replacement. They do it all. Give B&W a shot at 636-458-3626 or bwconcrete.com. You'll love them just like we do. All right, guys, we're back. And let me tell you, boy, we've had some really great, great conversations. And that accessible bathroom is a conversation we get in all the time. And it's something we do all the time. I should have really mentioned, too, that that you can go to our website, callmosby.com. Go to Mosby's site, and you will see some of the accessible bathrooms that we've built with showers and things like that. Now, House is going to have more, and you may even see some of ours on House. House is great in order to really see different things, and we use it a lot, and our designers use House a lot with our clients to really help determine just what catches your eye, what do you like, and it's great for what you dislike. So when you can get an account on House, and you can share that with your designer, interior designer, architect, whatever, however you're doing things, and you can attach notes with them. So our designers will tell our clients all the time, well, when you go there, look through it, search for this, but don't only show me things that you like. Show me things that you don't like. So if you come to a photo and you go, oh, gosh, I don't like that backsplash tile at all, mark that like that so they can see some of the, oh, you like this and you dislike that. And it really can help them put together the selections and help assist everyone in picking out things that are really going to work well for them and get them into just such a great aesthetically looking project too, because when we do these accessible bathrooms, they're not like they used to be. So when you walked into an accessible or a handicap enabled bathroom years ago, you knew you were there. You could tell by the bars, you could tell by everything about the way this is done that this is what was built and that's why. Nowadays, the things that you can pick and the things that you can put in there and the types of tiles and the look and how we can do the access and everything, it can look like your ordinary everyday bathroom with really nice towel bars and really nice decorative looking towel bars. And they've even the shower valve, some of them have a handle on the valve. So it's right in front of you while you're showering, not just on the side or not just when getting in and out, but they're so nice and so decorative. You can make it look like it's just meant to be. It's normal. So people don't walk in that bathroom later and want to change it. They like the way it looks, and it's better for everybody. So universal design has kind of helped take us there and really get us to think outside of the box so that, because not everybody needs exact accessibility. And when you think about true handicap accessibility, that was meant more for not one person or one family's day-to-day life, but a mass of people that need assistance getting in and out of commercial buildings and bathrooms and all of this. So with the new theory of universal design, residentially, we don't have to follow all those rules, but we can still make it 75-80% better for you, your situation, and everybody's situation is a little bit different. So when we were developing the bathroom that I was just talking with Cheryl about, how we took some of the closet, made the shower bigger, as we were designing that, my designer kept kind of saying, well, we should take this other wall. We should make this bathroom wider than 5 foot, just to make it better for this reason, for that reason, for different things. But when we got together with the actual physical therapist that's working with the person that lives in the house and needs this bathroom to be changed, that physical therapist said, don't move that wall. Here's why. Here's what we're going to put on it. Here's how this person's going to use that bathroom to get on and off the toilet and to get in and out of the shower. And we even learned that, well, so we were trying to go all the way to this handicap accessibility, and the health professional is telling us, nope, you're taking it too far. for this person. So it's so awesome to think about the needs of who's there. And you can think about everyone else and not create something that makes it bad for them too, but really focusing on what they're going through and what they need is what makes it really work out for them. And this is something that we can help everybody out with. I'd encourage you to check it out, callmosby.com. You can see those accessible bathrooms, different bathrooms that we've done. We can mix all that up, and we've got all the people to get it all right and do everything for you. And we do a ton of different things like that, to just like I'm doing right here today. I just want to help everybody out and get great information for you and see if we can really make St. Louis better all across the board. So, hey, had a great time. Love it. Thanks for all the calls. Had a great list of awesome questions. So, hey, I'll be back next week. So for everybody out there, be good to yourselves, be good to your homes, and I will talk to everybody next week.